Happy Resurrection Sunday. Today is a day to celebrate a lot more than bunnies and lilies. We are here to celebrate power, raw power. We're here to celebrate a single life, a single death, a single life after death that now touches our lives. So we're here to celebrate the many new lives represented in this room today. We're here to celebrate the new lives that we're gonna represent or be represented during baptism. All of it's really, really great. But I do want to compliment you that you look especially good this Easter Sunday. You dress up a little more, Christmas Eve and Easter. Kids, we have the kids with us today. Kids, I want you to stand up. You're with us in the service today. Stand up. Let us see your fit because you guys are looking very, very good today as well. Yeah. All right, I have a question for the kids. How many of you are wearing exactly what your mom put out for you today? Raise your hand. How many of you are wearing exactly what your mom put out for you? Yeah. Man, I'm sorry. I know the feeling. In fact, I found some old Easter pictures from 1983s. So here's a picture of Brian and his younger brother, Brandon, who happens to be in here today. Now, back in the day, moms did it right because they matched the stripes on the socks with the tops. So my mom chose the strategy of humiliation to build our self-esteem. That's why we went out looking like that. I mean, Brandon's in overalls with heavy equipment on it. I mean, that's awesome. So that was Easter. The next fall, we took this picture. I mean, look at my pants. I think those are back in style. My mom curled my hair. It's humiliating. So I'm sorry, kids. I understand what it's like. There's some husbands right now looking down at their outfit, turning red because they know that they're wearing exactly what their wife put out for them this morning. We call those guys Cabbage Patch Kids here at Cornerstone. But everyone looks great. However you got, how you look, you look great. I want you to look around too. The room is full. It's very fun. Churches all over our town, one of the least Christian cities in the world. The churches are full today. Many are hosting extra services to make room. It's kind of amazing. The Easter still draws that attention. I can tell if you're visiting, we're not usually this popular. Seems like Jesus is and the resurrection is, and so that's why you're here today. But it's really neat in a fast-paced world that's pulling us apart, giving us lots of reasons to not like each other and be divided. We're here to celebrate one life, one death, one life after death that then gets shared with us. It's an amazing thing that we're all here from different backgrounds. We grow up different. We think different things about the most important things in life. Like we're going to debate the rest of this year till November about the solutions for our country. But here we are agreeing that something that happened to Jesus long ago is very, very special. It's an amazing thing. And this is a room made up of friends, but it's also a room made up of strangers. I know I'm a stranger to many of you. But we're all here celebrating one life, one death, one life after death that touches us today. And on Easter Sunday, I like to spend time explaining the meaning of the resurrection because it's one thing just to think about the event that took place, which it did, and you can find historical record of it outside of the Bible. But its meaning is what really matters. Like how it touches your life, my life today is what matters. And today I want to take us to John chapter 14, and we're going to look at one phrase that shows up in verse 6. It says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These are the words of Jesus. He's describing himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this short statement says a lot. In fact, we're going to stay in this verse for the next 3 weeks. Today, I'm going to just talk about what it means that Jesus is the way. And then the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what it means that he's the truth and the life. But thinking of Jesus as the way is a helpful way for us to connect to the meaning of the resurrection today because he is the way in three particularly important ways. First of all, Jesus is the way to something that we desire. Second, Jesus is the way through difficulty, or I'm going to describe it as through the grave. And then lastly, Jesus is the way for us today. And that's important because we are all people that try to find our way. Young people have this conversation all the time in life. What way am I going in life? Am I going the right way? You're trying certain things on, identities, jobs. You're trying to find your way in life. But it doesn't stop. As we get older, we realize that the certain ways that we were going or the certain ways that we were trusting in just aren't serving us anymore. Or they never delivered on the promise that they first made to us that they would hold us up. See, life has a way of exposing the lesser ways in life, the alternatives, excuse me, to Jesus. But we're all searching. And here's the thing. It's not like there is a sure map to life. There isn't. There isn't just a 1, 2, 3 nice little instruction manual about how to live your life, who to live it for, what direction to go. I mean, the Bible's the closest thing to that, but let's face it, that's a collection of books that can be very complicated. There are themes to it. We try to unpack them here at Cornerstone, but there are no just sure maps. There's no clear ways out there for us. We're all kind of just searching for clues or for different things that would point us in the right direction. Last summer, this church gave my family an incredible gift. We were given a sabbatical, and that's a couple months off, so pastors can go away and come back less weird. I came back less weird. We get weird after a while. So we spent some time in Hawaii, and we went back to a place that we had visited 13 years before. Went to Maui. And our favorite place on Maui, and we've been there quite a bit because we spent our first sabbatical there. Our very favorite place is this very remote freshwater lagoon on the backside of the island that's very, very hard to get to. It takes a long time to drive there. There are no signs. There's no indicators there. In fact, there's just signs that say that you're entering private property. That's never stopped the Carlucci's. But we wanted to go find this lagoon that we had visited 13 years ago again. And so Elise and I pull out our old travel books, because that's what people did 13 years ago. Now they use the internet. We still use books. And we read some of the clues, like you drive this far after this town and you look for this tree and you stop at this mile marker and then you just walk in this direction. I mean, this is how you have to find this lagoon. And so we did that, and we stopped at, we think, at what was the right spot, and we started walking, and we come to a fence with a sign, and I'm like, I don't remember this fence. The sign seems right, telling people to stay away. And we walk through all of it. And the whole time the boys are saying, are we lost? And Elise and I say, we might be, but we're going to try to find our way. And you keep walking a little further. And in this tall grass, a small path reveals itself. And you're like, oh, here's the path. And if you follow that path, it takes you to the trees. And it takes you to this beautiful lagoon surrounded by cliffs that the boys spent time jumping off. Here's a couple pictures of it. It's amazing. So that lagoon's separated by just a small strip of beach between the lagoon and the ocean. And so we spent some time jumping off. I can tell you that the second time we visited, it was not as good as the first time. The first time, there were some Hawaiians there playing their ukulele, singing Hawaiian music. Second time, there were some Germans there speaking German, which there's nothing wrong with Germans or speaking German, just not in Hawaii, all right? So it was fun. We found our way. But life is sort of like that. It's like, I think I'm going in the right direction. There are barriers along the way. There's questioning that comes. There are no sure ways in life, but this is what Jesus tells us. I am the way. You keep looking for a map. You keep looking for the perfect formula, the perfect set of criteria for making decisions. Jesus says, look to me, I am the way. Now, the context for this passage is Jesus is in one of his last conversations with his best friends, his disciples, before his crucifixion. So we're going to read in John chapter 14 here in a moment. This actually occurred the week leading up to Easter. This happens to be Jesus's last night. He's sharing the Passover Seder with his disciples. And he goes into this long teaching. In fact, it's one of the longest sections of just the words of Jesus you find anywhere in the Bible. And the whole thing starts with Jesus teaching about service, servitude, and leadership. And he washes his disciples' feet. And it ends with Jesus praying for his disciples and praying for you and me. Think of that. Praying for our unity, which is expressed today. But in the middle of it, Jesus goes into this conversation about that he's going to leave. And you can see it behind me, that he's going to the Father and that he's going to some place that he's going to prepare a place for us. Jesus is talking about what many people refer to as heaven. And heaven is not just some distant place where people float around in clouds and just play music all the time. Heaven is more like your best day on earth than anything else. It's like that adventurous hike to the most beautiful place you've ever been. It's full of culture and music and creativity and adventure and love and parties. That's what heaven is like. In fact, heaven is more familiar to you than you think. It's because we're told that someday God will resurrect this earth and heaven will be here. But Jesus is talking about that he's going to the Father and he's preparing a place. And Thomas asks him in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? He's asking for the map, and there's Jesus' answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is hard for us to understand as modern Americans, that there's not just a formula to get through life, but there is a person to follow. The best direction in life is behind the one that's leading us. It's even more important than just finding all the truth, all the right directions. Jesus is saying, look to me. Now, I want to, with the time I have left, I just want to point out three ways that Jesus is the way that are connected to the resurrection message. The first is he's the way to the Father. It's very obvious here in the passage we just looked at. Second, Jesus is the way through the grave or through those hard things. And lastly, Jesus is the way for us today. So let's start with this idea that Jesus connects us to the Father, that he is the way. When a person listens to the voice of Jesus, they are hearing the voice of the Father. When you look into the face of Jesus, as the disciples were, Jesus was saying, you're looking into the face of God. To know Jesus is to know the Father. And this is important because Jesus is trying to help people understand this whole thing has never been about just belief. It's never been about just belief, and it's certainly not just about finding the right things to do and the wrong things to avoid, the good and bad list. He said it's not about those things. From the very beginning, this was about union with God, intimacy, connection, loving union with God. And Jesus comes and he says, I'm here to share the union that I've shared with the Father with all of you. Now, at the center of the Christian message is this mystery, and I don't have a lot of time to describe it, but I will tell you this. The mystery, we call it the Trinity. Here's the mystery, that there is one God, but God is in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so when you think about God, he's not just a single entity, although he's one God, but God is a community. God is a friendship. God is a party. Think of it that way. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are constantly submitting to one another. They're loving each other with self-giving love. They're celebrating together. They're celebrating one another. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are the most joyous beings in the universe. And Jesus comes and he says, you know what? I want to share the love of the Father with you. Later on in this teaching, Jesus would say, I will be sending the Spirit. Because he was just as committed to connecting us to the Spirit as he was the Father. But he's saying that you... or he is the way to the Father. Baxter Kruger says, if he, Jesus, is not able to meet us in person and share his own mind and heart and spirit and Father with us, the door of heaven remains locked before us. We are left outside with a book about God. It may be an accurate book. It may be filled with inerrant statements about God, but a book is not a person. Information is not communion. I mean, you need to know, if answering the question, why did Jesus come and live? Why did he die? Why did he rise again? It's so that you could be with God today. Experience union with him. Now, I want to read you a quote about just the importance of knowing God and being with him. I'm not going to tell you who the person is yet. I just want you to read the quote and think about it. It says, a popular comedian. He said, having faith, that's like having a free parent. Yes, a free parent. When we feel alone, we don't have to. When we feel like we're not a part of something, we don't have to. It says, I come from a place where I think I felt alone a lot. So if you're telling me that there's a free being, a free body, a free parent, a free love, a free father, you could say, a free heart out there in the universe that will help me not feel alone, man, come on. That's a lottery ticket that I don't have to scratch. I'll take that all day. I'll take that all day because I want to be a part of something bigger. I don't want to be just a part of just myself. Well said. Okay, this is for the guys 30 and under. You can show who the quote's from. Good old Theo Von. Tell you this about Theo Von. Wild story of life change. He's a wildly inappropriate comedian, so don't play Theo Von in the car with your kids. But every young guy in America is listening to him, or people that are listening to him. Man, he's onto something. There's something free. There's something that's better than just something. It's someone that's out there that connects us to something. Maybe you picked up on the undertones of heaven. I mean, they're not undertones. Jesus is saying he's going there to get things ready. I can just tell you this, that where the Father is, there is heaven, and he wants us to experience that party, that celebration, that adventure, that beauty, that culture with God someday. That's why Jesus came. He's the way to the Father. Number two, Jesus is the way through the grave. You can read in just the historical record that the tomb was empty that Sunday morning. Now, not everyone agrees of why the tomb was empty. Some say the body was stolen, that it was a conspiracy, that the Romans stole it, that the followers of Jesus stole it. Yet the scriptures tell us that the tomb was empty just as Jesus described it, that it would happen. He said that he would rise again, that the tomb would be emptied out. And the resurrection provides tremendous hope for us, because someday we will face a similar situation to Jesus. We will be put into a grave. And we will be put in a grave all by ourselves. There'll be no one there to help us. There'll be nothing that we can do, and we will find ourselves in a grave, and we will wonder, is there any way through the grave? John Stott says, the resurrection of Jesus changes the face of death for all his people. Death is no longer a prison, but a passage into God's presence. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. You can nail it to a cross, wrap it in winding sheets, and put it up in a tomb, but it will rise. And this is important for us. Because maybe you haven't thought about it, but someday you will, that you will die. We will all face the wilderness of death. And that's how I like to describe death, as a wilderness, because if you think about a wilderness is a wilderness because it's untamed. There's no way through. It's dangerous. People get lost in the wilderness. Jesus faced the wilderness of death and made his way through. And he has made a promise to those that are with him, and that is that he will lead us through the wilderness of death. At some point, every one of us will close our eyes for the last time. And the question is who is it that we will see on the other side? I've been with a number of people in their last moments right before they passed away. And I've been with people who just had terror on their face. They were filled with fear and anxiety and worry because they didn't know what was next. And then I've been with other people that in the moments right before they passed, they were filled with peace and resolve and even joy. And it's not because they knew what it was that they were going to face next, but they knew who would be waiting for them. They knew what face they would see. See, we all need a way through the grave. We all need a rescue. And we need a rescue for different reasons. Like, sometimes life just happens to us and we need the rescue of Jesus. But a lot of the rescue that we need from Jesus is because of our own bad choices. The end of last year, I was reading one of those top 10 lists, and I came upon one of the top 10 rescues of 2023. And one of the rescues in there was of an Australian man who came up with the great idea to sail alone in a tiny little ship across the Pacific Ocean. Well, that's a bad idea. I'll just tell you that. Please, no one do that, okay? Well, this guy, his ship turned upside down, and he was just stranded, floating aimlessly out on top of his boat that was upside down, capsized, and he was naked. I actually have a picture of this. Oh, wait, no close-ups. Some of you were waking up and grabbing your glasses just now. Can you imagine, like, you make the news, you're infamous for this? This guy needed saved from himself. He needed a rescue. We're like that. But we're also like someone else that needed rescued last year is a little Japanese lady in her 90s that after the earthquake that hit at the beginning of the year, she survived for 5 days under her two-story house before she was rescued. In her 90s, for 5 days under the rubble, she needed rescued. It's hard for us to admit that we need a rescue, but there are certain things in life we cannot fix on our own. And there's not a person in this room that can deliver us from certain perils that we find ourselves in. The grave is one of them. The effects of sin is another one. Hosea promised, speaking of Jesus, God is speaking through the prophet, says, I will deliver my people from the power of the grave. And then years later, Paul, in talking about the meaning of the resurrection in one of the best chapters in all of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says Jesus has been raised. He is the first fruits out of the ground, a sign of more to come. This is what he's saying. He's saying just in the same way that farmers during the Jewish feast of first fruits would go out into the field and they pick up the first sprigs that were coming out of the ground and say, look what God has brought out of the ground, life. In the same way that God has brought Jesus out of the ground, he will bring the rest of the harvest someday. He will take us through that grave. That's why it's important. Here's another reason why Jesus navigating the grave, making his way through the grave is important for us. It validates the whole story. And I stand up here a lot and I preach to people that don't know me, and sometimes people come up and say, Brian, why should I even believe you? That's a good question. And usually my answer is something like, you probably shouldn't believe me until you get to know me, and then you might want to believe me, maybe not. But then they'll say, hey, Brian, why should I believe the scripture? And I think that's a good question too. Because, you know, we don't all grow up with just respect for the authority of scripture. We don't all grow up just understanding that it's God's word and how to read it. I'll tell you what, the best reason to believe the scriptures, the best reason to believe the words of Jesus is because he's still alive today and he speaks on his own behalf. His word is living. It just stays with us. It speaks to us. Haunting is not the right word, but it's kind of like that. Keeps reminding us, inviting us into something. He's alive. So the resurrection, the fact that Jesus is alive and still speaks through his spirit today, validates the story. Tim Keller, in a great book called The Reason for God, says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything stands is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. I mean, that confronts us today because we're all about what we like. Gary Brosher says, apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no savior, no salvation, no forgiveness of sin, no hope of resurrected eternal life. Apart from the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus is reduced to yet another good but dead man, and therefore no considerable help to us in this life or at its end. So he either makes the whole thing true or the whole thing is a waste. You can't just say that this is a nice story that I enjoy celebrating once a year thinking about something mysterious, but if you know that it's true, it confronts your whole life with a story of love and connection and hope and forgiveness. It changes people. That's why this room is full of people whose lives have been radically changed. They didn't come in and say, hey, change my life, Jesus. He just got their attention. He came alongside of them as he often does. He surprises them and their life has changed because they met the risen Jesus. And so Jesus is the way through the grave. Jesus is also, this is the third point, the way for each of us today. Says Brennan Manning, for me, the most radical demand of the Christian faith lies in summing up the courage to say yes to the present riseness of Jesus Christ, or the present risenness of Jesus Christ. That's how dyslexics read words like that. Okay, think about that for a moment. The present risenness of Jesus. The present risenness of Jesus right now in this room with you, tomorrow at work with you, at home with you and your family and your roommates today and tomorrow. Some of you are going to face difficult things in this next year. How about the present risenness of Jesus? He is the way for today. We don't know what's in front of us. There is no map. But he's the way for today. Eugene Peterson, in his book called The Jesus Way, says, real life, the real world is a vast theater of salvation, directed by our wise and totally involved God. Totally involved God. He's close. moment ago, I talked about how Jesus will help us get through that final grave someday, but one of the great things about the present risenness of Jesus, the totally involved God, is that he helps us through the smaller graves of life today. Some of you are really struggling with different things. Your thoughts, your intrusive thoughts, can't get free from certain things, struggling with your doubt, struggling with your family, struggling with loss, lack of purpose. Those are all graves. They're all little deaths. And there is one who meets you in the grave that walks you through it. I'll tell you this, there is only one person that can make sense of your suffering. Now, he might not explain to you why all of it's happened, but he will bring purpose and peace to it. And you know what? For people that have experienced that, that's enough. He's the way through the smaller graves that you face today and tomorrow and the rest of this year and the rest of your life. He's also the way today because he connects us to that love of the Father we started with. You don't just have to wait for heaven to come here someday. Like there's a version of heaven that's taking place in the hearts and souls of every person that said yes to Jesus, because in that place, God's spirit meets our spirit and we're made alive. And something happens. And the way our heart has been nicked and wounded in the past, guess what happens? It gets touched and it gets healed and it gets transformed. The present risenness of Jesus brings heaven to earth. It doesn't just connect us to God someday, it connects God to us right now. And it's an incredible gift. What happens is when you walk with Jesus long enough, you begin to realize all the benefits that come with him. But here's the real benefit. He is the greatest treasure. Like there's lots of benefits to being married, but the real treasure is your spouse. Elise is the real treasure in our marriage. Knowing her, watching her, seeing her change. Seeing her struggle, that's the treasure. That's what happens when you notice the God that is present with you every day. All of that is possible because of the resurrection. Now, I do want to speak to a few of you in the room that have maybe never, ever considered any of this. Maybe you've never heard it before. Maybe you've heard it before and just it's never set with you. But today you feel drawn to Jesus. I'll tell you, that's a great place to be. And here's what I would remind you. I'd remind you that God has created you with great purpose and meaning. You were created out of love because that party, that celebration that we call the Trinity, wanted to share all of that with you. And there's never been a day of your life that God has not looked at you and smiled. He cares about you. When you struggled the most in your worst days, he was there with you weeping. You may not have noticed him. That's part of the effects of the brokenness of sin in this world, is we're blind to see the God that's with us, but he's always been there. But all of this beauty has been interrupted by sin, and it's the sin of other people, but it's also our own sin. We all struggle. We all choose our own way. We harm others. We say yes to other things in place of God, and we find ourselves in this broken place where we need rescued. But that God that's never turned away sent Jesus. Jesus has known this the whole time, and so he came, and he willingly got on a cross for each of us. It's not like he just got on a cross for the whole wide world. He got on the cross for each one of us. He saw all of our faces. Said all of our names in his head. And he got on a cross and he was crucified for 6 hours before he was finally killed. And he was crucified on a hill called the Skull. He was executed by his political enemies. He was betrayed by his friends. All this happened, and then he was put in a grave, and all we're told about the grave is that it was a new grave but didn't have a name. He was put in a nameless grave by himself to be forgotten. Now, a few people might have said, I never want to forget him. That's what we do with our loved ones. We try to hold on to the memory. But we all know that when someone dies, they just get forgotten in history. That's where Jesus was laid. But 3 days later, something happened. The Spirit of God, that's been in union with the Father and the Son, entered the tomb, entered his body again, and he opened his eyes. And his heart that was not beating began to beat again. And his body that was cold, it warmed up, and his lungs began to just push oxygen through his body. And he sat up and he took off the clothes that you wear when you're dead. And he stood up and he moved the stone away and he walked out. And you know what he's been doing ever since? He's been coming alongside people just like us, people who doubt, people who struggle, people who are afraid, and he comes alongside and says, it's true. I am the way. And here's the amazing thing. All of this is a free gift. The motivation behind all of it was just this burning love that God has for you that has never been put out. That love drove Jesus all the way to the cross and out of the tomb. And it's been driving him your entire life for him to get your attention. And all you have to do is you just have to turn your heart to him. We say you just turn your heart to him in faith. Just trust that he is who he said he is, that he's done what he's done, that he's involved in your life. And you begin to turn your life in his direction. My favorite invitation of Jesus, there are many, but it's the most common one, is he invited people to come follow him. Which to me is so much more personal than come believe, right? Or come even just come worship. He's saying, come follow me. Journey with me. Walk through life with me. Follow me to the Father. Follow me through the grave. Follow me through the things that you have today. It's an incredible gift. This, by the way, is one of the hardest things for modern Americans to accept about the gospel. I mean, the whole thing is quite a story, right? And if Jesus wouldn't have rose from the dead, we'd all sound like crazy people. But here's what's the hardest thing for modern Americans to accept about the whole story, and it's this, that it's free. You don't have to do anything. Your loved ones don't have to do anything. It's not built on merit or performance. Nothing in life works that way except Jesus. And so in just the openness of your heart, you say yes to this free gift. And you work through that all those objections of all the extra things that we have to do and just tell yourself there's nothing I have to do. But just to say yes and to follow. It's an incredible gift. Worship team, you guys come on out. I want to close. I want to give us a moment. It's the quiet of prayer for some of you just to respond to God today. I think there's many people in the room that Jesus is speaking to you. You know, one of the neatest things that happens on Sundays are the things that you hear through the Holy Spirit that may not have anything to do with what gets said up here, but those are the most important things that are said. And I know some of you have heard some things, so I want to give you a moment just to talk to God. And so I want to invite you to close your eyes and just go to the quiet place of prayer. And some of you today heard the invitation to greater union with God. Connection, love, that you'd be welcome into the family. Just want you to hear the whisper of God. Feel the presence of God with you, speaking to you. Some of you are looking for hope. Not just hope for tomorrow, but hope for that last grave that you'll face someday. And Jesus is here to give hope. And then I think this last one fits all of us, that we are all looking for a way. We go our own way, we get deceived all the time, but the invitation is always to return to Jesus. So Father, today I pray that every heart in this room would be turned towards you. Father, you welcome the doubt. You welcome the questions. You welcome the fear. You even welcome the half-hearted faith, which is all that some people can come muster up today. But we turn our hearts to you, however we can. And we hear your invitation. We see your face, your hand extended to say, come and follow, for I am the way. And I bless my friends who are moving in that direction with greater and greater experiences of you, the risen Jesus, this week. Not years from now, but this week, that they may see that you're the way and that you're leading. Father, we thank you for this moment. We also want to bless our friends this morning who are being baptized. We thank you that this baptism represents the things in their life that they are dying to. And the things in life that they are saying yes to, they are being buried with you and being race to new life. We bless them today. We pray that this would be a memory that they would hold on to. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.